What's up, everybody? You're listening to Out of the Box Podcast with your host, D-Star. Enjoy the show!
Hello, everyone. This is Out of the Box Podcast, and I'm your host, Kingston Robertson, and I'm here with
James Morgan. I'm currently the community organizer for an organization called MOSES.
That's great. Could you give us a little insight on what MOSES stands for and what you guys are doing for the community?
Yeah, well, MOSES stands for Madison Organize and Strength, Equity, and Solidarity. What we are is an organization that focuses on creating and assisting in changing legislation relative to incarceration, post-incarceration, housing, education. A number of our members who are really active in all of those areas.
How was this created? Where did this come from? Where did MOSES start from?
Well, MOSES started in 2010. A number of us, there was Reverend Joe L. Winger out of Milwaukee, myself, Jerome Dillard, and David Liners, at the behest of a woman by the name of Carol Rubin, who did the necessary research and building of the organization with its member congregations. We had to have 10 member congregations before we could become a part of WISDOM, which is our statewide affiliate, under the umbrella of our national organization, which is Gamaliel. And those are organizations that train individuals in community activism and community organization.
Could you tell us a few things that you guys are doing right now as far as with the community and just giving that understanding of who you are? And, you know, like a lot of people hear the name. What is the behind the scenes? Like, what are you guys doing in the community, in that area that you're targeting at this moment?
Well, yeah, you're correct. There's a lot of behind the scenes work.
Yeah.
What I think people will be familiar with at this particular point is approximately 2 to 3 weeks ago, the New York Times published an article about the horrific conditions in Waupun Correctional Institution and Green Bay Correctional Institution here in the state of Wisconsin, where individuals have been on what the department calls modified lockdowns or modified movement, but in actuality, they are lockdowns where individuals are in their cells for 22 to 23 hours a day, lack of access to showers, communications with their families, and things of that nature. So we've protesting those conditions and seeing what we can do to get the Department of Corrections as well as the governor to address those issues that are impacting people in negative ways.
And 23, you said 23 and 1, that's a long time to be locked up in a cell and can't come out, and then no showers and things of that nature. Actively right now, where are you at in creating that change?
Well, again, we keep advocating for the change that's needed and necessary. And I was sharing with someone this morning, you know, the Democrats have come out with a bill to address some of those issues, to address some of those issues long term, requiring the Department of Corrections to fulfill those needs, to ensure that people have the opportunity to exercise, that people have the opportunity to shower, to do those things that are needed and necessary so they can maintain their human dignity while they're in that space. You know, how we determine the treatment of individuals in those spaces will determine how they come home. We want them to come home mentally, emotionally, and physically well and capable of becoming the fathers and the mothers that they are intended to be. We want them to be able to reengage in their families and their communities in healthy ways. You know, we all know, those of us who have experienced incarceration, because I've experienced incarceration. I was incarcerated for 24 and a half years.
Yeah,
we want to come home and be able to not just be welcomed. You want to come home and be accepted into a whole community, into a whole family, in a way that's beneficial for everyone. Okay, your children, your mother, your wife, your husband, your nieces, your nephews. And, you know, it is incumbent upon us, you know, to address these things. Some of us haven't been in those situations, some of us not, you know, to shine the light, okay, on these issues is very important.
Yes, it is.
We need to be the voice, you know, for people who have been made, for all intents and purposes, silent. We want this issue. We want them to be visible, and particularly in this political arena where those choices and decisions are made by people who really have no understanding or concept about what those environments do to human beings.
Because I also was incarcerated for 7 years before, so I kind of got a great understanding of where you're coming from, what you're talking about. But to do 24 years and come out and be as strong as you are and be a part of MOSES, how do you come home and get to this point?
One of the key components to that is understand. I got to a point where I understood that there was a greater than in my life, and started figuring out, you know, what I needed to do, number one, to survive that experience. Mm-hmm. Okay. And not lose my mind.
Yeah, that's important.
Okay. I was very active in that environment. I found things that I could spend my time and attention on that gave me a sense of my humanity, my dignity, my artwork, my reading, my education, you know, went to school, acquired an associate of arts degree while I was incarcerated, began to figure out the value of communication, the value of language, you know, never really knowing if I would ever step foot outside that environment. But, you know, being there, I had to figure out how I could live my best life while I was there, how I could maintain a sense of independence and self-determination. And so acquiring that and there, I'm not going to say coming out made it a piece of cake, because there were still issues that I had to figure out, you know, for myself in consultation with some others who had had similar experiences I had and who were successful after transitioning out of incarceration.
What was that first step of coming home? It's a lot easier to be saying like what we would do while we in that area, like we're in the box, and be like, man, we're going to change our life. We're going to do this different, or we're not going to do this anymore. When you got home after doing so much time, what was your first steps of growth and moving forward in the community?
Well, the first thing was how to conquer fear.
Yeah, fear is important.
How to conquer fear. That was my thinking. But then, you know, talking again with some of the individuals that I had been keeping track of, other men who had gotten out and been successful in terms of staying out of prison, is engaging them in conversations that allowed me to focus on what was happening to me in those situations where I felt uncomfortable, where I felt fearful, where I felt like, you know, this is, you know, I've got to go back to all I know.
That could come real fast.
Oh, that'll come real fast when them pockets empty.
Especially when everybody know, oh, he home.
Right, right, right.
And that's all they know you for. It's like whatever was in the past.
Whatever you left them with.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's not just the guys in the street. That's your family too.
Indeed.
You know, if you got children, all they know about you is what you left them with. And if there's been a transformation or a transition into you becoming someone other than the thing that you left them with, notice the language.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It can be challenging and it can be painful, because sometimes you do have to make that decision to separate from on a permanent basis, in order to give yourself the opportunity to live a more quality life, a balanced life.
That word transformation, you use it strongly, because I didn't talk to you and I heard about like the transformational awards and the events that you guys have to, you know, in honor to those that came home with that mind that you're speaking on and maybe to make change and progress. You know, could you give us a little more on that?
Well, the foundation for transformation begins with the individual or the person and the people that we honor in what we call our gala, our transformation celebration. It's coming up December 9th. It's at the Brass Works on Wabisa Avenue here in Madison, Wisconsin. And so we have 3 honorees. Persons can go on our website, mosesmadison.org, and all that information is right there. All you got to do is click on a button. That bucket will take you to all the information that you need to know about the transformation celebration.
And what is it again?
MosesMadison.org. It'll be from 5:30 to 9. And what I want to remind people too about this particular celebration is that, you know, part of the proceeds go to a youth culinary program. And that's why we always have this event.
Most definitely.
At the Brass Works, yes. Get your tickets. I believe that the ticket sales end on November 22nd.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, ticket sales end November 22nd. Make sure you go get yours. Be a part of this, because there's a lot to come next year. And we want to also honor those that's been working behind the scenes that have yet to be noticed, but you guys are making sure that they're noticed.
Hey, come and support Out of the Box.
Always.
Because there's no standard to determine, you know, outside of the person. Mm-hmm. It's about empowering the individual to the degree that they deem necessary or not to tell us how they've transformed. Maybe in the past, I wasn't the type of individual who understood the value of my family.
Yeah,
now I do. That's a transformation. Okay. I never had a job. Now I possess a work ethic. That's a transformation. Okay. So it doesn't have to be, you know, oh, I came home, you know, and coming home, I had 50K and then I did this and I did that. No, we're looking for those things that are meaningful in your existence, in your life, that you are willing to share. Okay. With the people who will come and celebrate with you. And sometimes those people are people who don't even know you, but are inspired by your process of transformation, by you sharing your reality. You know, and what I find fascinating about it, you know, because I was one of the first recipients of this. What I found so transformative and so eye-opening was that, you know, individuals began to engage with me and having those conversations and sharing with me those times in their lives when transformation was needed and necessary, and how they were able to accomplish those transformations to a degree that it was satisfactory, number one, for them, and then for the other individuals that they're connected to. Okay. It's a process. It's like everything in life. It's a process. You and I were talking about, you know, children and how their stages of development. Man, look, I'm 64 years old. 40 years ago, I'd have never engaged you in that conversation.
Yeah, there was no interest at that time.
You know, there had never been a foundation laid for that in my life.
Yeah, so for those like coming home and like, you know, trying to like that have that same vision that they have yet found. Like, how do you guys, you know, like how they able to contact you and get in tune with what's going on? Because I feel like what you guys are doing is important, because like with me personally, coming home and being able to say that I'm not going to do what I was once doing, which was successful for me. I thought it was successful, you know, even with it, all the things that come with it. I had the mind state that it was successful when I'm making this money, everybody loving you. But when you don't have nothing, then, you know, you're like, you know, it's no one there. So it's like when you come home and, you know, you have such a strong transformation, takes a lot, you know, like just like even with the family, because the family goes through it with you. Like, how do we come home from there and find that job or find that help? Like, where is the help?
Well, number one, you got to figure out whether or not you are coming home. Does home exist for you out here anymore? OK, and if it doesn't, how do you develop that? That takes a level of intentionality. That takes being able to say no. And have your yes and no have the same power. OK, in those spaces where, you know, the yes is acceptable. But then if I come and you have a specific request, will my no be just as acceptable? OK, no, I'm not going to engage. You know, I'm not going to get high with you. You know, oh man, you scared you the prison. No, but that's a decision that I made that's in my best interest. Okay. Thank you. No, I am no longer that. Okay. I'm not only seeking to become someone else, I am someone else, and stand on that, you know, exercise that courage. Okay, to not be defined outside of who you are, but being able to define who you are from inside. That's strength. That's what brings that character. Okay, that's what puts others on notice. Something's
different.
Yeah,
so they're going to have to move different with you.
Okay, so, you know, or even if they don't move with you, let them move without you. You know, your purpose is to stand on your values, your principles, your beliefs, your morals. And if other people aren't accepting of that, you know, let the message be, the last time you saw me, I was standing and headed in another direction.
And that's transformation.
It's that simple. Okay. Right. But then again, we are social creatures. So seek those environments where you're going to have those productive and positive interactions, the support for the transformation that you are in the process of instilling within yourself. Exhibit that to the best of your ability in your external person.
You know, it takes a lot to have that transformation when it's so many things around you that can bring you back into what you know, which and I feel like, you know, with the things you guys are doing, the motivation behind being a nominated from, you know, from that, and like, man, you're doing your thing, you working a job, or You came out here, you're trying to change the youth life. Things like that are, you know, not seen. So like with Moses, like you guys are bringing it to the table. How do you feel about being a part of that personally?
It's a gift. I feel honored. You know, there are some criticisms with it, come along with it. And I'm not going to say that it all feels good, but I didn't come into the space with the intentionality of merely feeling good. I knew that it was going to require a certain level of sacrifice. Okay. I knew that it was going to going to be pushed back. Okay. So coming into the space, I prepared myself for that. Okay. So, you know, it's easy to talk about it. It's another thing to do it. It may sound humorous to some people, and some people may say, man, yeah, I ain't trying to hear that. But I remember sitting in prison, man, and I watched this movie. And this character in in the Batman film said, "Wait till they get a load of me." Now, I'm not saying that out of a sense of arrogance.
Yeah.
But I know what I know. I know what I know, but I also know what I didn't know.
And that's very important.
Before then.
That's very important. And when you just said it, it opened my eyes. Because it's like everything I didn't know is what was more important than what I did think I knew. Because I didn't know much.
Right. And see, we always talking about I need to learn. But I discovered in that environment there was a lot that I had to unlearn. I had to create that space, you know, so that my brain could be able to begin to function in a healthy way. I ain't gonna say normal, because every brain is different. Okay. But it had to be able to function in a way that would allow me to understand, you know, the impact of these things that are outside of me and the way that they impact me, that the only way for me to be able to even began to navigate them was I had to unlearn what had been taught to me. Okay. Oh man, some of it had to be totally destroyed. Yeah, I get it. You know, my generations go back before there was even a person who looked like me, say, you know, like Malcolm would say, you know, who you know, the Mayflower, and all of these generations understand that genealogy. What happened? Where did I come from? Who am I? Okay. You know, understanding things like the migration of black people from the South trying to escape slavery and Jim Crow, and where were my family and people and all of that, and understanding that to give it a sense of who I am. You know, people telling me that I can't be educated because I'm a little black boy.
Crazy.
Okay. And then going back and understanding that my great grandparents were educators and teachers, you know. And tapping into that source of me, that curiosity, you know, why am I always with a book in my hand and reading, discovering those new things about my capacity and my power that had been stripped away from me, okay, through the culture, through the society, you know, through what I'm seeing here in a lot of places around our country where our families and our kids and everything else are existing in these communities of confinement that are being built based on the language. Yeah, the steel and concrete shows up, but it's based on the language. And who's determining that? Who's designing the maps on whose vote matters and whose don't? You know, and so, you know, let's get back into Moses here for a minute, because those are the things that we focus on. You know, the mapping, the gerrymandering of the maps, and whose vote counts and how and why it's important to vote to change our situations and circumstances in these communities and in our neighborhoods. Okay, educating people. You know, understanding that educational situation of that institution belongs to us, and we need to hold people accountable to that.
I had just recently learned from going to a few events and being, you know, curious of what's really going on behind the scenes, because like I say, behind the scenes is where most things are being done the right way. A lot of people on probation cannot vote. If you got 20 years of probation, your voice, you're not heard.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question quick. Just a quick question. While you were incarcerated, and this is my experience, I never had a single individual while I was incarcerated say, man, I want to get my right to vote.
I mean, me personally didn't care to vote.
There you go. You know, there's a narrative in our community historically that our
vote
don't count.
We have for this, or we this one.
And we look at
one tenths and one.
Right. But, you know, resources, man. National elections is one thing. Your local elections is something totally different. That's where you get your roads repaired. That's where you get your financing for your schools, housing, all of that. You know, so we focus on education, educating people in those areas. You know, if you've got, you know, here, and particularly here in Madison, you know, the people that we got making decisions right now really don't care about none of us. Okay. We, you know, they got us caught up in this language game about, you know, this group of people, that group of people, everybody's looking at everybody else and I'm this and I'm that. And at the end of the day, you know, they go in there and put us all in one cup of water called minorities and move on. All right. But those resources become valuable and important. Get in your car and go on the south side of Madison or some of these areas where you don't even want to drive your car because it's all tow up. And then you go on the white on the west side and the streets are real smooth, right, and all that. That's voting.
Right.
That's representation. Okay. And the part that I really, truly don't get, I'm saying I don't get it, but I do, because there are people in these spaces who it's all about their self-interest. The population of people who are suffering, not having the information or the understanding,
right,
about what it
I
means
don't,
to vote.
When, you know, it's not just until recently that I learned that how important our vote is for like those type of things. Because when you say vote, people think president, senator, like Republican, Democrat, no one thinking about, oh, yeah, well, this helps our roads or this helps our school system, which, you know, I feel like it's a lot of work that needs to be done in the school system these days.
Everybody in prison right now, if you're in Green Bay, you're in Waupun, the tax dollars that would normally go to your community to support funding schools in your area and all those things, you being in, when I was in Green Bay, I understood, and even when I was in Tennessee, that being on their voter rolls increases their financial capacity to fund their schools, access to medical care and everything else. So if I'm sitting in prison and my family in Milwaukee, I'm paying for the families up there in Green Bay. Okay, they're increased tax dollars in Green Bay.
And
not in my
ain't
community,
got a prison.
But they're in it where
I
they are for
that
a reason.
That's deep.
Okay, so again, man, understanding and beginning to look at these things and looking at, number one, your value, your own personal value and your worth and what you have the capacity to do to change your situation and in transforming you, you transform your family, your children. Okay, you open the doors for them. Okay, to be able to potentially experience some of the things that we aren't experiencing right now, you know, freedom of choice, freedom of autonomy, to be who I am, for me first, you know. And people are talking about, well, everybody's welcome here. Oh, you're welcome here. We're welcome in the environment. I don't really want to be welcomed. If acceptance is the goal, then you accept me for who I am and what I bring, not just to the table. Most people, when they pull up to a table, there's a chair to sit on, right? Don't just give me a spot at the table
and
I can't have a seat and be part of the decision-making process, all right? You want me to feel good. My feel good is something that is a standard within me. I'm going to feel good because I know who I am. I know the foundation for my ideas and my beliefs and my personhood. That's going to make me feel good. And you're going to get to experience that when you see me. Your fit. Man, this is, you know, this is messaging. I am. You know, I don't want to go back to Jesse, that I am somebody. I ain't talking that rhetoric. I'm talking about deeply knowing who you are and what you possess.
Before you leave out the door, when you leave out the door, you have to have that confidence, because people feel when you ain't confident and, you know, you become a target for, you know, grief or disappointment and stuff like that, because you giving that look to the people that's in front of you versus knowing who you are. And I feel like coming home from, you know, those places, it's important that we have that confidence and work on that confidence.
Confidence and courage, man. But here's mm-hmm. here's one of the things to watch out for in that. Confidence and courage, and people who don't know you will perceive it as arrogant. And I've had to address that, you know, with audiences. Okay. But that's because I had other people in the room who I was in relationship with who could say to me after the fact, you know, man, I think you came off this way with this particular audience. Okay. And being non-arrogant, I took the opportunity to go back and reassess. Okay. Because I definitely don't want to send the wrong message. Okay, you know, I want my message to be clear. You know, and my message is one of humanity. Okay. Respect, dignity. Okay. Love, unconditional love. People talk about it all the time, but they don't know what that is. Boundary setting so that I know when I step into a space that I'm bringing my own safety with me.
For sure.
Not relying on somebody else to create a space that's safe for me. Okay. And we learn those things when we're incarcerated, you know, but I have to do it in a way that's healthy, you know. Because a lot of us come home and we're hypervigilant.
Yeah, everybody, you
we're
know, like
everything.
Everybody suspect until you figure it out.
You know, everybody suspect, okay? But then figuring out how do I balance that? How do I find that so that that vigilance is a healthy one for me?
Right.
That's not a distraction in
my
life.
It ain't easy.
It's not easy because a lot of it happens to us on the subconscious level. That's, you know, and you heard me say this before, incarceration does different things to different people. And for those who have never experienced incarceration, I don't feel as though you've escaped because guess what? Life does different things to different people. So there's a similarity there as to what degree an individual or a group of individuals decide to pay attention to it, because that's another thing that's very important. It's figuring out and learning how to pay attention.
Peer is important because even in those spaces, like, if you have your mind, you can get a lot further in places, you know. But when that's gone, it's like, you know, you stuck in wherever you at. I believe a lot of people, like when we talk about confidence, it starts up here. You know, you like, man, I might not be able to succeed in this and this going on. And you know, you questioning yourself before you even had the opportunity. Once again, James, we thank you for showing up, being a part of this. And this is Out of the Box Podcast. I'm your host, Kingston Robertson.
Thank you for listening to Out of the Box Podcast, an inspiring show advocating for our current and former inmates and their families in Wisconsin. Are you interested in starting your own podcast? Click our affiliate link or Buzzsprout for all your podcast hosting needs. You can also support the show by clicking our support link in the description.